Brother Joseph, God bless you.
God bless you.
I would like to ask you today some questions which our listeners have been sending in. Some are very interesting, and I actually am very curious to see what are you going to say.
I'm curious what they're going to ask.
Well, there is this controversial issue happening in the world about the new pope, because the Christians and many people who believe in the prophecies of Nostradamus, of Malachi, they've been expecting a different pope to be elected. And there is a new figure in the Catholic Church, a pope which seems like a nice person. He doesn't seem to fulfill the prophecies of Nostradamus, of Malachi, because he is not black, he's not called Peter the Roman. So the question is, what do you think about this new pope?
Well, what I think is not important. It depends on the fruits. You cannot judge people just because they look nice or they don't. Yeah, Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. You cannot judge a tree until the fruits are produced. So since I didn't get any, the Lord didn't give me any revelations, so I'm going to hang on and wait for the fruits. That's what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. God said to Israel, you will judge, you will know when a prophet is true by the fruits, by what they say.
All right, now the fruits...
If it's fulfilled what they prophesy.
But the fruits we see right now in this new pope is that he... People say he's very humble, he's a very gentle person, he wants to evangelize the whole world, he seeks peace with the Protestants.
Well, I remember the pope, John Paul II, he was one of the greatest popes as far as evangelizing and going around the world. When he began, he didn't say anything. He didn't sound any trumpet or anything. He just produced the fruits. Okay, so as you know, I'm not religious, I'm not for one religion or the other. However, there is good and bad in every religion. Okay, and so we have to wait again. We have to wait and see, and we have to see how he behaves. And it's like you cannot judge. So it's like, unless I get a revelation from God, some prophets or something, I will keep my mouth shut and I will not say something just because it looks like. But Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So you cannot judge by appearance.
All right, but by the fruits we can.
Yeah, by the fruits.
So if the fruits obviously show he's not black, so he doesn't fulfill the prophecy of being black. I mean, it's obvious he's white.
So you're talking about the Nostradamus prophecy.
Also, yes.
Yeah, that they said that this pope was going to be black, etc. Okay, also, there is another prophet. His name is Malachi from Ireland. And he got all the popes right until Pope Benedict XVI, the one that just resigned. And he gave like a characteristic about each one of them. He got them all right. And he said that this pope was going to be Peter the Roman, which it doesn't look like that's his name, unless he dies gets killed or something. Only God knows what's going to happen. If he dies, another guy could take this place. Like there is right now the regent, the director in charge of the Vatican affair, which takes the place of the pope. The pope dies, and his name is Peter the Roman. Okay, his name is Pietro, and he was born in a town which is called Romano in Italy, so Peter the Roman. So he could very well be the prophesied Peter the Roman.
So he is a cardinal, or who is he?
He's a cardinal, yes. Also, Nostradamus said that this pope was going to be black. Does it look black to you?
No.
Well, he is black, actually.
He's not. He's Argentinian. No, he's white.
He's an Argentinian, white, Italian descendant, definitely, but he's black. Because he's a Jesuit, and the Jesuits always had a black pope. If you go search on internet or whatever, you see that the Jesuits, the order of the Jesuits, they always had a black pope. So this guy now is definitely a black pope, because he's definitely above and on top of the Jesuits' black pope.
Well, what does it mean, the Jesuits have a black pope?
The Jesuits have a pope kind of in competition with the Pope of Rome, which officially submitted under Rome, but in reality he operates on his own. See, the Jesuits is a Catholic group which was founded by Loyola.
Yes.
Ignatius Loyola, he founded. But the Jesuits are kind of a very strange sect in the Catholic Church. They were born with the intent of defending the Catholic Church. But if you search on internet and you go look for the oath of the Jesuits, you'll have a surprise who these guys are. You know, shall I read just a few lines for you?
Would be interesting to hear.
Look, I just downloaded a little documents here from the internet. I just searched. I just typed a digit that I went Jesuit oath. And that's what there's a lot of articles where the oath of the Jesuits was, they were born to protect the Catholic Church, okay? And as you know, I'm not religious, so for me, God loves every believer. Doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant, God loves everybody. Even if you belong to a good church or a bad church, God loves you. There is open salvation for everyone, okay? So I'm not here to put down or lift up any religion.
Right.
So, well, having said this, we need to be honest and see historically what happened in the different religions, you know? I know that some people attacked the Catholic because they had the Inquisitions. Okay, that's true. And there was a time when the devil was using more certain religion, but also the Protestants, Evangelic in Germany, they were the ones who supported Hitler. The Evangelic in North America, in the USA, they are the ones who supported the war in Vietnam and in Iraq, etc. So it's like you cannot point the finger and say, look, only this religion is bad. There is bad and good everywhere in different measure. And the percentage, well, there you have to ask God. All right, I'm not the judge. So anyway,
amen.
So I'm saying this because I don't want some Catholic listening think I'm here making a crusade against the Catholic. I'm just, God is above. God loves every believer. You can belong to a good church or a bad church. There is hope for you to be saved, doesn't matter where you are.
Amen.
You can be a Muslim, a Hindu, you know, all the religions, especially the Hindus and the Buddhists, all way it goes to God. And I say, yeah, you're right. All way it goes to Jesus. I say that doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or Hindu, everybody can get to Jesus. So anyway, here is a document downloaded, and can you please read it so I can?
Yes. Where shall I start?
Well, just start here. This is the oath to the Jesuits who rise in authority. They have to take this oath. Okay, go ahead.
Uh-huh. On either side stands a monk, one of whom holds a banner of yellow and white, which are the papal colors, and the other a black banner with a dagger and a red cross above a skull and crossbones.
This is a pretty weird, like a skull, crossbones. You know, so this priest have to swear on this, funerary symbols, okay?
With the word Inri.
Inri is Jesus Nazareno Rex Judea.
Yeah, it was written on the cross.
You know, Jesus Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So they have these Christian symbols mixed up with other symbols which are not Christian, like the skull and the crossbones.
And below them, the words Justum Necar Reges Impius. The meaning of this is, it is just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings, governments, or rulers. Continue.
See, just the main parts. It's a much longer of a story. And anybody wants to find this, just go on Google and just type Jesuits oath, and you find a lot of answers. Okay, so this is one of them. Yeah.
The superior speaks, my son. Heretofore, you have been taught to act the dissembler.
The superior, the Jesuits, speaks to the Jesuits under who wants to grow in authority in the Jesuits movement. So you have to take this oath before advancing into the Jesuits order. Understand? So
yes.
The superior speaks.
You have been taught to act the dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy even among your own brethren. To believe no man, to trust no man. Among the reformers, to be a reformer. Among the Huguenots, to be a Huguenot.
The reformers are the Protestants, okay?
Yes. Among the Calvinists, to be a Calvinist. Among other Protestants, generally, to be a Protestant. And obtaining their confidence, to seek even to preach from their pulpits, and to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope.
So he's saying you can go preach him. You as a Catholic can go preach in a Protestant church and pretend to be attacking the Catholics. That's what it means.
Yeah. And to even descend so low as to become a Jew among Jews.
Because, you see, one of the main purposes of the Jesuits was to exterminate the Jews. Okay, and they were some of the main support of the early Catholic Inquisition. They were torturing people, which was born mostly to destroy and annihilate, erase from the world to the Jews.
Amazing.
Okay, so.
continue. You have been taught to plant insidiously the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace.
Understand? So that's exactly like the devil works.
Amazing. Okay? It's exactly like the devil.
Exactly like the devil. Like you have to sow seeds of jealousy, hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace. In other words, it's like Revelation chapter 6, you know, the red horse which takes the peace away from the earth and brings distractions. You see how the devil has infiltrated the religions.
And to incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous.
That's the oath these guys have to take to be a Jesuit. So that's the kind of pope they have now.
Amazing.
Understand? Go ahead.
You have been taught your duty as a spy to gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source, to ingratiate yourself into the confidence of the family circle of Protestants and heretics of every class and character.
Understand? They're saying you have to go and just infiltrate like a serpent into the Protestant circles and the heretics of every class, because they consider the Protestants heretics.
Yeah.
Of course, God is above everything, and God doesn't hate, doesn't love anybody as a class. God is not a racist. All the Protestants, all the Catholics go to heaven or to hell. It depends one by one, understand?
All right. To ingratiate yourself into the confidence of the family circle of Protestant and heretics of every class and character, as well as that of the merchant, the banker, the lawyer, among the schools and universities, in parliaments and legislators.
Legislatures, like the parliaments.
And the judiciaries and councils of state, for the Pope's sake, whose servants we are unto death.
No, this is not Jesus, eh?
Right, yeah.
It's the Pope, okay? Okay, of course they bring in Jesus once in a while, you know. It's more like a cover, okay? But they're really supposed to be faithful, first of all, to the Pope and the leaders of the Jesuits sect, okay?
You must serve the proper time as the instrument and executioner as directed by your superiors. The
execution means a killer, right? Yes. To execute people that your superior tell you to kill.
For none can command here who has not consecrated his labors with the blood of the heretics.
Heretics, like the non-Christians.
For without the shedding of blood, no man can be saved.
Can you believe it? See how they mean?
They use the scripture.
They use the scriptures, you know. In reality, what the scripture really means, you find this, it's in the book of Hebrews, quoting the law of Moses, is saying that you have to shed the blood of an animal in order for your sins to be forgiven. So in the New Testament, the animal represented what in the New Testament is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Right.
So without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, your sins could not be forgiven. So in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot be forgiven and saved. So these guys are using the scripture, which are completely out of context, it has nothing to do. He's saying, basically, they are saying that you have to shed the blood of your enemies
to be saved.
To be saved. You understand?
Yes.
You understand what an incredible... Anyway, just you can skip all that. There's a long story here. People can go online. Okay, look, there's another few quotes here if you want to.
I am dispensed with to assume any religious heretical for the propagation of the Mother Church interest.
In other words, you can make it look like you're changing religion. You are the most on fire Protestant, Jehovah's Hindu, whatever you want. Like Paul says in the epistle, he says that some wicked people say that we do evil for the purpose of good, which is whose damnation is just. It's like Paul really blasted this kind of Paul condemned this kind of practice, like doing evil for the ultimate purpose of good is forbidden in the Bible, and that's what these guys are taking an oath.
But to execute all that should be proposed, given in charge, or discovered unto me by you.
Understand? Execute, kill them.
Amazing.
Understand? So you have to take an oath to become a thug, a murderer, to become a Jesuit. Shocking?
Very shocking, because they're supposed to be Christian based on the Bible. This is totally against the Bible.
Yeah, but they say to save Mother Church and blah, blah. You see how the devil has infiltrated many, many religions, you know? But nevertheless, in every religion, and that's the reason why God allows them to continue for thousands of years, in every religion, they are sincere. Mm-hmm. They are sincere, poor, sincere, little sheep, Okay, little sheep who just don't know better. Just like Paulo Tarso. Paulo Tarso was like that. He was into the Pharisees, zealand. He was going around killing, torturing Christians, compelling them to deny Jesus Christ. But then he repented, you know. These guys are just a bunch of Paulo Tarsos with the difference that I don't know how many of them are repenting.
Yes. And that I will spare neither age, sex, nor condition, and that will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics.
You understand? Despite they can be like a pregnant woman, it can be a child, it can be a baby, I will kill anyone for the glory of the Catholic Church. So this is the oath that this Pope took.
It's shocking.
So you have to go beyond the smile and beyond the bless and beyond the washing feet and beyond the carrying the cross. You understand? For these guys, carrying the cross, washing feet, praying the rosary means nothing. They can become just as easily Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, a Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, for the glory of their religions. You understand?
Rip up the stomachs and wombs of their woman.
Can you imagine? He's saying you can cut, you can slash and cut open the stomachs of pregnant women to kill their babies.
Gosh.
I mean, this is, you can imagine something more demonic than this.
And crush their infants' heads against the walls.
Can you imagine crushing babies, infants against the walls? I mean, that's the oath that this Pope took.
In order to annihilate their execrable race, that when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, and the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by agents of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father of the Society of Jesus.
That's the Jesuits, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize this? I mean, have you ever heard, I mean, something that it would make a CIA and KGB look almost like nice guys compared to this.
No.
These guys are the CIA and KGB and the Gestapo put together of the Catholic Church, you understand?
Yes.
That doesn't mean that there are not among the Catholic nice people. Of course there are. Just like they were among the Pharisees, good people.
Yes.
So it's a system that God hates. But the people will be judged individually, because in every false religion, there is always some sincere people, right and left. So today, God doesn't look at you, doesn't send you to hell because you're a Catholic or Protestant, but because you either received or rejected the salvation of Christ.
In confirmation of which, I hereby dedicate my life, soul, and all corporal powers, and with the dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my blood in testimony thereof.
The dagger is a knife, eh?
Yes.
You know that.
And should I prove false, or if I weaken in my determination, may my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and feet and my throat from ear to ear, my belly be opened, and sulfur burnt therein with all the punishments that can be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul shall be tortured by demons in eternal hell forever. Boy, that's enough.
There are mafia families that take some oath similar to this, you know, like if you betray this and that, we're going to kill you, or this and that. You know, it's just the same. It's the same old devil.
Did you take the oath? Answer, I did, to destroy heretics and their governments and rulers, and to spare neither age nor sex nor condition, to be as a corpse without any opinion or will of my own, but to implicitly obey my superiors in all things without hesitation or murmurings.
Boy, they believe in unity, these guys.
Without thinking, they need to obey.
Without thinking.
Will you do that? Answer, I will. Go ye then into all the world and take possession of all lands in the name of the Pope. He who will not accept him as the vicar of Jesus and his vice regent on earth, let him be accursed and exterminated.
See, with excuse of the Pope being under Jesus and the vicar of Jesus, basically they're really thinking of the Pope and the religion. Many sects and religions, they use the name of Jesus and God, the Bible, Trinity, etc., just to lift up their religion, so they can have a bigger congregation. So Sunday morning, there'll be more people bringing money, more tithes, more offerings, more religious building signed on the name of the organizations, you know. And this has been an old story that they've been using the name of God for the glory of the religion. So remember.
But that's
that.
What Christians accuse the Muslims of doing. They're a religion of violence, who impose their religion by killing, by violence.
But the Christians, the Christian religion is not better than the Muslim. They're the same, you know. Just as a religion like another. Like if you are a Christian just because your parents are Protestants or Catholic, then you're just like the guy who's a Hindu because his parents are Hindu, or Muslim because his parents are Muslim. Like, it's a personal experience with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are Muslims who were converted because they had dreams about Jesus, they were searching soul, and they became Christians. So don't judge people because they have a golden cross around their neck, or because they have a Bible in their pocket, because they go to such a special church where everybody's yelling hallelujah every Sunday morning. That means nothing. It's like God wants to see the fruits. Amen.
Are the Jesuits the ones who started the Inquisition in Spain?
Who started the Inquisition? No, they were one of the main promoters. The Inquisition was run by the Dominicans who established it in the 1480. But the Jesuits were the primary mover into the Spanish Inquisitions. And one of his primary goals was to eradicate Judaism, etc. But for which reason they were torturing people and compelling them to confess that they were heretics, torturing them until they confess that they were guilty. I mean, the people were confessing just so they could die and get over with it. Some people were begging, please kill me. Mm-hmm. They said, no, you have to confess. They were so stupid, those guys. I mean, stupid would be a compliment. They were demonic, okay? So it's just the devil infiltrated. Like Paul said in Acts chapter 20, after my departure, there shall be grievous wolves entering into your church. He told Ephesus, they will not spare the sheep. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus rebuked the same church, Ephesus, and said, you forsook your first love. So it's like already in the first century of Christianity, the glorious church, the devil was infiltrating church. You can see that in Revelation chapter 3. The dead church of Sardis, the vomiting church of Laodicea. And the devil has been infiltrating churches since then. It's only because the Holy Spirit has been kind of keeping the devil away. But if it was for us, for the people, good night, there wouldn't be Christianity anymore.
So, back to the Black Pope. This is a title that the Jesuits give to their leader? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, if you research a little, you see that the Jesuits, they always have a leader, and they call it the Black Pope.
Because as a nickname?
It's not an official, because the Pope is supposed to be only one in St. Peter in Rome, but that's how it's known. It's a guy dressed up in black all the time, usually with a sad face. And it's called the Black Pope. It's kind of unofficially in competition with the Pope. Mm-hmm. So with the excuse that he's supporting the Pope, he actually kind of influences him. And they use their loyalty to tell the church what to do. They're the most loyal. They're like the Gestapo was for the Nazi, okay? The KGB was for the communists. Understand?
Okay, I want to ask you something which is just an opinion you can give, but still, tell us your opinion. You think that this Pope will be the false prophet?
Yeah, I know. I've been recording messages about this, and you heard. And I believe that the false prophet, Revelation 13, verse 11, and Revelation 19, verse 20, I believe is going to be most probably a leader of the Catholic Church or a leader of the Muslims. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me more like a Christian because he has the horns of a lamb in Revelation 13. Now, if this is going to be the false prophet, I don't know. I didn't get the revelations. But it seems to me that the false prophet in Revelation 13 is a leader of the Christians, probably the Catholic Church, because the Protestants don't have leaders, okay? They're all fragmented in thousands of sects and denominations, etc. Where the Catholic Church has much more power and authority. When there is any world decision, the UN or in Jerusalem, it's always the Pope that goes. So it seems to me, that he's the one, because in Revelation 13 is the one that tells the world to make an image to the beast and then to take the mark of the beast. In other words, he's the guy that shines shoes to the Antichrist, the first beast. He's like the second beast. So is it going to be this one? I don't know. We'll have to see. But like I said, it could be the one, or it could be if he dies, there is a guy, Peter the Roman, waiting to take his place. So we'll have to wait and see. It doesn't really matter if it's him or another. The thing is that the prophecy will have to be fulfilled. Okay, and that's it.
Thank you. Now, this new pope, how do you think he will be accepted by the Protestant world?
Well, of course, the last few popes have been trying to spread the ecumenism as much as possible. Ecumenism means a unity of all the religion, Hindu, Buddhist, and everything, which is not scriptural, of course, because if you read the 2 Corinthians 6, it says, what fellowship has light with darkness, etc. But when it was Archbishop Argentina, one time he knelt in front of the Protestants, and he asked them to pray for him, this and that. So actually, all the Protestants in Argentina and other places, they were saying that he was an answer to prayer, he's a perfect pope, etc.
So they like him.
They can do business with, yeah. Which it goes very much with the way the Jesuits operate, you know.
They become, to kneel down before the Protestants?
Yeah, like they become Protestant to the Protestant. Yeah, you read it before.
Right.
They become whatever they need for the good of the Catholic Church. Okay, And so it's like, so far it seems like the perfect pope to unite the world in one religion, which the Bible in Revelation 13 says that when the world is united, like, you know, the second beast with the horns of a lamb, it will tell the world to make an image of the beast. So in order for the world to listen to him, he must have the world on his reins. Part of the world must listen to him, at least the Catholic world, and a lot of Protestants. You see, a lot of Protestants are praising God for him. So indirectly, he's also leading most Protestants. So the world is heading toward the one world religion, you know, which is ecumenism, okay? Because ecumenism, like they got together in Assisi some 30 years ago, by John Paul II. They are the Indians, the red-skinned Indians from North America with all the feathers, which are not Christian, of course, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Protestants. I mean, one world. You see, the Antichrist needs a world unity, politically, financially, and religiously. Okay, as long as the religion keep fighting among each other, they cannot rule the world. So he has to bring a religion that everybody can accept. In this time, that's what's happening.
Yes.
Make sure you keep your eyes not on Nostradamus or Malachi, etc., but keep your eyes on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on the Bible prophecy, okay?
Amen.
So don't believe any Nostradamus or anything unless you see first in the Bible. Because these are the only prophets you can really trust. So if you don't know the Bible prophecies, you're going to be completely confused. You don't know what's going on, okay?
Amen. One question. Okay, he is. We told before that the Pope is seeking peace with the Protestants, but how can he be accepted by the Protestants? Because he's still a Catholic and he is still worshipping things which a Protestant condemned. How is that possible then?
Well, listen, this guy will turn out to be the second beast, the false prophet. Well, in his case, he's already accepted. He has been accepted. Like, since the beginning, had a personality of really trying to be accepted by just about everybody, understand? You remember we read before the oath of the Jesuits?
Yes.
I mean, that tells it all. In fact, if you read, downloaded an article here, a little bit how he has been trying to behave and to reach others and to present himself and the Catholic Church to others, etc., I mean, it really goes with the Jesuits' oath. But Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. Or I see the Bible, 2 Corinthians 6, says, what fellowship has light with darkness. So we're not supposed to ask. We're supposed to reach the non-believers. We're supposed to love them. But we're not supposed to do business with them. We're not supposed to, you know, like, get too close to them. Otherwise, it's like soon nobody will tell the difference between light and darkness, right and wrong, Christianity and non-Christianity. How are we going to bring people to Jesus if we don't bring them first to repentance, if we don't show a difference, all right? Look, why don't you read, I have a little article here, emphasize a few parts. Why don't you just read, you see how this goes exactly with the Jesuits' oath that you read before.
Okay.
Look how this Pope has been behaving. all right, trying to make ingratiate, trying to make himself be received by another religion when he was an archbishop in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Okay. Protestants. Gregory Venables, Anglican Bishop of Argentina, has called Bergoglio, quote, a devout Christian and friend to Anglicans. Mark Hanson, President Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, greeted the news of Bergoglio's election with a public statement that praised his work with Lutherans in Argentina.
Okay, this article was downloaded from Wikipedia, okay? Just all for right. The information.
Evangelical leaders, including Argentine Luis Palau, who moved to the U.S. in his 20s, have welcomed the news of Bergoglio's election as Pope based on his relations with evangelical Protestants. Palau describes Bergoglio's approach to relationships with evangelicals as one of, quote, building bridges and showing respect, knowing the differences, but majoring on what we can agree on the divinity of Jesus, his virgin birth, his resurrection, the second coming. As a result of Bergoglio's election, Palau predicts that tensions will be eased. Juan Pablo Bongara, president of the Argentine Protestant Bible Society, recounts that Bergoglio not only met with evangelicals and prayed with them, but he also asked them to pray for him. Bongara notes that Bergoglio would frequently...
He noted
that Bergoglio would frequently end the conversation with the request, Pastor, pray for me. Additionally, Bongara tells the story of a weekly worship meeting of charismatic pastors in Buenos Aires, which Bergoglio attended. Quote, he mounted the platform and called for pastors to pray for him. He knelt in front of nearly 6,000 people, and the Protestant leaders there laid hands and prayed.
See, this goes exactly with the strategy of the Jesuits. You know, like, it's like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, try to become one. To them without the law, be without the law, then with the law, to be with the law, Jew to the Jew as a Jew, etc.
Right.
But this is to bring them to Christ, not to bring them to the Protestant church or to the Catholic church.
Yeah,
that's the difference, okay? All right, you're not supposed to bring them to the church of Ephesus or the church of Smyrna, all of this here. You're supposed to bring them to Jesus Christ. So basically...
And not with the intentions, killing, strangling, and all that. I mean, there's a limit.
No intention, but the availability, the willingness for that.
Yeah, there's a limit to that.
No, whatever strategy works, they use, understand? So you have to see here that it's not Christ being uplifted by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly the same.
Yes.
It's like, you're uplifting a religion which... A religion cannot save you. It doesn't matter if it's my religion or yours, it's the only Christ. If you don't preach Christ, you preach a religion, nobody gets saved. That's why God had to send Jesus to show the world that all the Pharisees put together, all the Jews put together, all the people circumcised, it said all the keeping the Ten Commandments would not save anybody. It took the Spirit of Christ to save. So now we're going back to the Old Testament. Of course, they don't call it circumcision. And Judaism, they call it Catholic Church, Protestant Church. Each one try to lift up his own sect. But there is no salvation in the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or my church. Salvation is in Christ, which a lot of these sects don't agree. They say, no, salvation is only in our church. I'm sorry, you are a false prophet. Salvation is not in your church. If you preach Christ, then yes, because of Christ, not because of your church.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can preach Christ in whatever church you are. It does not have to be this or that church, and you get people saved because of Christ, not because of your church. So you have to see what these guys are really lifting up. So he's uniting. See, he's already working on a strategy of uniting the world, okay?
In conclusion, Francis could set the tone for more compassionate conversations among families about the differences between Protestantism and Catholicism. Jewish. Bergoglio has close ties to the Jewish community of Argentina and attended Jewish Rosh Hashanah services in 2007 at a synagogue in Buenos Aires. Bergoglio told the Jewish congregation during his visit that he went to the synagogue to examine his heart, quote, like a pilgrim, together with you, my elder brothers.
You see, basically, he speaks every language.
Amazing.
The Jews, the Protestants. Now, look, this is the Islamic.
Islamic. Leaders of the Islamic community of Buenos Aires welcomed the news of Bergoglio's election as Pope, noting that he, quote, always showed himself as a friend of the Islamic community, close quote, and a person whose position is pro-dialogue.
Listen, that's what's going to happen in the world at the end time. Like, the Antichrist will need a world united militarily, united financially, united politically, and united especially religiously. That's why there is all these wars going on right now. They're trying to get rid of the black sheep in the fold, like Syria, North Korea, Iran, these guys that don't want to, they are too hard heads, they don't want to join with the NWO, the New World Order, you understand? So they need unity everywhere. It's the password, the nickname is globalization. It's a name which is a new name they invented. They don't want to use a one world order, they don't want to use one world dictatorship, they don't want to use one world empire, people get scared. So they coined a new world, which people had to understand what that means. Mm-hmm. But what it really means is a new world empire, okay?
Yes. Continue about the Islamic. Dr. Samer Nufuri, Secretary General of the Islamic Center of the Argentine Republic, added that Bergoglio's past actions make his election as Pope a cause within the Islamic community of, quote, joy and expectation of strengthening dialogue between religions. Shortly after his election, in a meeting with ambassadors from the 180 countries accredited with the Holy See, Pope Francis called for more interreligious dialogue.
You understand? It's so basically, this guy is speaking every language, spiritually speaking.
Yes.
Can you remember Revelation 13? He told the whole world to make an image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it. Because now the whole world is looking up to this guy. He would, I didn't get a revelation, he's a false prophet. I'm only saying he's in a very, very good position to be. Understand?
Yes. Interfaith dialogue. Religious leaders in Buenos Aires have stated that it was Bergoglio who opened up the cathedral in Buenos Aires for interfaith ceremonies.
Can you believe this? It's a church for interfaith. In other words, it's not a Christian church. It's an interfaith.
The cathedral in Buenos Aires.
You understand? It's an interfaith. It means that the Hindu can go there and pray to the elephant god. It's a guy, I remember when I was in India, is Ganesh, it's his name, it's a statue of a guy, a man, but the head is an elephant. And then somebody else is worshiping the serpents or the cow or whatever they want to worship, or Buddha, interfaith. So you then, side to side, somebody is praying to an elephant and you're praying to Jesus, side to side, which is an abomination in the Bible. I mean, can you imagine Jesus going to an interfaith church, a guy is praying to an elephant and God, and Jesus is praying to God? That is an abomination of desolation. Please, finish up.
All right. For example, in November 2012, he brought leaders of the Jewish, Muslim, Evangelical, and Orthodox Christian faiths together in the cathedral to pray for peace in the Middle East. Leaders quoted in a 2013 Associated Press article said that Bergoglio was, quote, has a very deep capacity for dialogue with other religions.
Okay, is the language of the world. I mean, even Jesus didn't make it to speak other religions' language. Hmm. Or every time he opened his mouth, people were getting either saved or offended. Jesus did not speak the language of every religion.
Yes.
If you read the John chapter 10, it says, I am the true shepherd, and all those... All others, all those before me, they were thieves and robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of other religions get offended that Jesus don't like Jesus completely, because they say the guy is too exclusivist. Okay? So, but even Jesus didn't make it to please everybody in the world. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, if I please men, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. All right?
And he considers healing divisions between religions a major part of the Catholic Church's mission. Shortly after his election...
No, attention. Where are you?
Here.
See what it says. Healing divisions between religions. Remember Revelation 13, it says that one of the head of the dragon was wounded unto death, but the wound was healed, okay, which I already taught many times, saying that that is the healing of the Roman Empire, which was wounded by the sword.
Yes.
Okay, that was the Roman Empire became Christian.
The Christians.
Yeah, and now it's getting healed politically, militarily, financially, and now also it takes a religious healing. You know, in the Roman Empire, they were worshipping all kinds of pantheon of gods. They had all kinds of stuff, Apollos, Mercurius. A lot of those gods inherited from the Greeks. Venus, they even worship the emperor as a god, and that's what's going to happen. The Antichrist wants to be a god, in fact, the number one, the devil in the flesh. Okay? So is healing divisions between religion a major part of the Catholic Church mission? Sorry, that's a blasphemy. You cannot heal division between religion when Jesus said that all those that came before me, they were thieves and robbers. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How can you heal the difference? When Jesus said in Matthew 10, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. From now on, families are going to be divided. It that is not for me is against me. Does it look like a healing? No. It looks to me like bringing a sword of division.
Right.
So here, I don't know if it's going to be the false prophets. I'm going to wait, okay? Especially I'm going to ask God the supernatural revelation. God will give it to me, either to me or somebody else. God is going to reveal. But definitely this guy has all the numbers to be the false prophets.
Yes,
I'm not going to proclaim on top of, on the rooftops that he is, but absolutely has all the numbers. Because he's already speaking the language of the world. He's wooing and courting and convincing just about everybody. He's united the world religiously. The Antichrist will unite it politically. Okay, the mark of the beast, it's a financial mark. Okay, we unite it financially. So you have the mark of the beast, financial unity, the Antichrist, political unity, and the false prophet, religious unity. Do you understand? When you go these three unities put together, you have the one world government, the one world empire, the seven head of the dragon of the end time. Revelation chapter 11, 12, 13, and 17. A dragon with seven heads, and here we're in front of the seventh head, the head number seven, the head of the ten horns. You got that?
Yes. Shortly after his election, the Pope called for more interreligious dialogue as a way of building bridges and establishing true link of friendship between all people. He added that it was crucial to intensify outreach to non-believers so that the differences which divide and hurt us may never prevail. In such a way that everyone can see in the other not an enemy, not a rival, but a brother or sister to be welcomed and embraced.
Okay, that's unscriptural. Okay, you can call an atheist, a satanist, an unbeliever, you can call him a brother when you want to give him possibility, when you want to offer him if you want to receive Jesus Christ. But the moment he rejects, I do that all the time. I call atheists my brothers. Why? I'm giving them a chance to become.
Right.
But the moment that the guy says no, he rejects Christ, well,
he's not my brother,
sorry.
Thank you.
You know, it's like in the Epistle of John, it says you should not eat with such a person. You should not, don't salute them in the street. What fellowship has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, 0.
Yes.
Don't eat with them. They're not brothers.
Just be separate.
So well, it's scriptural in the sense that that's the way the false prophet would act. But it definitely is doctrinally absolutely wrong. Amen?
Amen.
That's it.
So after all this reading on Wikipedia and before what we read about the Jesuits, you still don't think he's the false prophet and that he is the last pope of the end time?
Well, again, I repeat, he looks like.
A lot.
He has all the numbers. He took the Jesuits' oath and everything. And it doesn't matter how much he smiles and everything. You remember Tony Blair, European Tony Blair, a British prime minister, how much he was smiling.
Yes.
He was more lying than smiling. He was... is lying, is lying. So don't be careful about these people smiling, okay? So, you know, Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin, those guys, they are the support of the nations. They are the Pol Pot in Cambodia, and he killed the millions of people. And It's like you have to, Jesus comes and says very simple, you shall know by the fruits. Mm-hmm. So anyway, is he the false prophet? Listen, right now is the most potential around, is in position. I mean, as far as the Malachi prophecies that the last pope was going to be Peter the Roman, well, Malachi, of course, he fulfilled all of his prophecy. Well, the guy can just assume another name, theoretically, if he want to fulfill the prophecy too, Francis Peter or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. But anyway, the main prophecy we go by here is the Bible. And definitely this guy has all the numbers, okay, to tell the world to build an image to the beast, Revelation 13. And the whole world is already listening to him. See, we never had a pope, never, ever, who had such a grasp, as many followers among all the different religions, interfaith religions. Never had a pope like that. With no exceptions, everybody likes. Mm-hmm. You know, like it says in the Epistle of John, they are of the world, so they speak as of the world, and the world listens to them. I mean, Jesus, this guy has more faith than Jesus, in quotes. Jesus didn't make it to please all these false religions put together. So you can see that it's a typical of a big religion. They just want to control. They want to be on top of the pyramids because they know by bringing everybody into the Catholic faith, they're going to be the leader automatically, mm-hmm. because they are the biggest religion. There is not another religion as big as the Catholic Church. Well, okay, the Hindu has zero power. In the Catholic Church, I tell you, every time an American president gets elected, America is the superpower, etc. They have to go to the Vatican and kiss his hands. You know, that's it. Because, you see, historically, the kings ruled by the anointing and the blessings of the popes. You know, they were kind of like the Old Testament prophets anointing the kings, which is completely out of context, because in the New Testament, you don't do that. And so today they still do that. You know, so you got the Russian leaders who go to the Vatican, you got the American leaders go there, the British leader, everybody has to go to the Vatican and just kiss his hands or bow down or at least shake his hands or to get his blessing, you understand? They all have to go there. Mm-hmm. And so basically, religiously, he's the number one in the world. So, you know, nobody else is in a position better than this pope to tell the world to make an image of the beast. All right, the beast in Revelation 13. The beast is the Antichrist. The image, I believe, is going to be whatever. We studied that another time. I don't want to get into it. But you understand?
Yes, I understand. And this is very good because, he is a very potential false prophet. And, of course, the future events will show us actually what will happen. But, you know, you see online all these comments and the world is so quick to judge, saying, you see, Malachi was wrong and Nostradamus was wrong and the Christians are wrong and the Bible is wrong because the Pope is not exactly fulfilling the prophecies. But they just have to wait.
Yeah, but don't worry about Malachi and Nostradamus, okay? Keep your eyes on Nostra Jesus, Malachi Jesus. Jesus is the only real prophet. All the other prophets, Nostradamus and company put together, they are as prophets, as prophetic, they are as in the measure that they agree with the Bible prophecy. Bible prophecies are your glasses to look at everything. Okay, you have to look everything through the Bible. Because the Bible, there is not another religion, there is no Islam, Hindus, etc. No other religion has the prophecy of the Bible. Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, they never said they were God, they were just men. In fact, they were sinners.
Yes.
Okay, Mohammed, he did a lot of stuff which, he needs forgiveness for, okay? But Jesus never, he didn't make any mistakes, mm-hmm. okay? And so Jesus is the only one who said he is God. So, you see, the Islam accept Jesus as a prophet, and the Hindu accept him as one of the many gods, and the Jews, most Jews accept him as a great mighty teacher. But that's not possible, because either he's a god because he said he was God, otherwise he's a false prophet. You cannot accept him as a teacher.
Yes.
So the Bible has thousands of fulfilled prophets. Jesus alone fulfilled 300. That's the difference. Okay, And besides, God cannot prove it scientifically. You just have to try personally and the experience. Any atheist gets on his knees with a full heart and calls on Jesus, will know if he's truly their savior or not, if there is really heaven and hell after death. They will know. Just get on their knees, a full heart, and they will find out that Jesus is the savior. Any Muslim, any Jews, any atheist, any demon-possessed, any Satanist who's willing to get on their knees and they say, Jesus, if you truly are my Savior, show me. And they do that full-heartedly. They don't need to know who wrote the Bible. I don't know who invented the wheel. I don't know who invented electricity. I don't know who invented this and that. But electricity works. The wheel works. Have you ever pushed a wheelbarrow? So are you going to stop pushing a wheelbarrow, driving a car or a bicycle because you don't know who invented the wheel? Excuse me, if the wheel works, I don't give a thing. I don't care who invented the wheel. I don't know. I don't care if it was a Catholic or Protestant. I don't care. I don't care if it was Jesus or the Holy Spirit. It works, so it's true. Amen. So since the Bible works, you start following the simple, basic principle of Jesus. You don't take drugs anymore. You don't commit adultery anymore. You love your wife. You save your marriage. Your children are growing okay. The Bible works. Yes. I don't need to have the manuscripts. I don't need to be there. I don't need a machine, a time machine, to go back 2,000 years to see who wrote. It works.
Amen.
This guy who say, I don't know who wrote the Bible. I ask them, can you tell me who invented mathematics? Can you tell me who was the number one who invented arithmetic, who invented that 2 and 2 makes 4? I don't know who invented that. I personally don't care. It works.
Amen.
You know? I don't know who invented special spaghetti sauce, which I like it so much. I love spaghetti sauce. I don't know who invented it. You know what? It works. Give me a lasagna every day, and I don't care who invented it.
I can tell it's lunchtime here.
You understand? I don't know who invented barbecue. Personally, I couldn't care less. You know what? It works. And give me a barbecue 2-3 times a week, and I will bless you in the name of Jesus. You understand? So this thing who wrote the Bible is just people who are just looking for an excuse. I tell Muslims, I tell everybody, listen, you don't have to argue about Muhammad and Jesus. Get on your knees and say, I tell them, call on Muhammad, call on Buddha, call on Confucius, call on Karl Marx, call on Charles Darwin, call on whoever you want. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. But then call on Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, are you God? Are you really my Savior? Am I really going to hell if I don't receive you? Get on your knees. And if you pray sincere enough, you will know. Because that's what I did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And I didn't need to run after girls every week. I didn't need to smoke marijuana anymore. I didn't need to drink anymore to forget my problem. You know, now whether I drink or not, whether I take a walk or not, whether I go swimming or not, whether I am happily married, but even if I was not, I would make it with Jesus. Before I couldn't. I think the life I was leading would have taken me to suicide. But you know what? Now I have a beautiful, wonderful wife. In fact, it's the best of the world for the record. But I think I'd be able to do without if I have to. Gritty teeth, for sure. But I would make it because now I have Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's very good, Brother Joseph. And can you tell us now what's the connection with the Pope?
With all this I said?
Yes.
Okay, very very simple, one word, nothing.
No.
However, it was just so inspiring. I love to talk to the atheists, my dear Muslim, my dear Buddhist, my dear Confucians. Just try Jesus. Try Jesus. Dear my dear friends, Muslim, etc., try Jesus. I love to talk to the atheists. My dear friends, atheists, try Jesus. You try Marx, you try Lenin, you try Stalin, you try, I don't know what else, Americanism, capitalism, you try religion, you try even Christianity. You try to maybe go to church every Sunday, yell hallelujah, nothing happened.
Mm.
Will you try Jesus? With or without church? Church is just, don't worry, just like politics. That's good and bad. There is sincere and hypocrites. But try Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You try and try, and then if you try sincere enough, try one time, nothing happens, try again. Until, in other words, the key, the secret is full heart. When you try full heart, especially when you are sick, when you have trial, when you have crisis, why? Because then is when you're really full heart.
Amen.
And Jesus will, and he will, answer you. It happened to me. I love you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you.